Greetings and salutations, fellow a-holes. You have tuned in to the worldwide leader in contrarian a-holery, and that is, of course, Objection, hosted at DVDverdict.com. I am David Johnson, joined by my fellow comrade in a-holery, Dan Mancini.
Hello there.
Is fellow comrade redundant? And is that a
It might probably be.
Is. You should have definitely brought that up. That would have really secured your a-hole credentials, you know.
It would have.
I mean, because if there's anything people love more
are
than
there really
a troll.
Any doubts, though,
if there's anything more, yeah, contrarian a-holery on the internet is only eclipsed by, like, grammar, pointing out someone's grammar
right.
problems.
Grammar Nazis are, like, the ultimate in a-holes.
So, anyway, we've got a countdown going on here. This is our 20 movies that Prius enthusiasts would likely despise. And yes, it is a gross overgeneralization, but that's what a-holes do. They grossly overgeneralize. And let's do, Danny, I guess we could do our little recap up to this point. So number 20, our number 20 on our list.
Was Band of Brothers.
Yes. That was just obviously well-regarded in most circles, but we just loved it how it was just kind of a reminder how there used to be a generation of 18 and 19-year-olds who could kick ass and not just walk around with their face glued to a BlackBerry, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And who, you know, when the country was attacked, had no qualms about going overseas and just kicking maximum ass.
Absolutely.
Which no apologies.
And again, this is kind of a, you know, this is a little teaser for what you're reviewing, but the Pacific, you've got the Pacific under your belt, and I'm sure there's probably examples of that as well, right?
Oh yes.
Probably in more horrific fashions, because that was no fun war theater for sure.
No.
But anyway, moving along. We don't want to get into a History Channel expose. So that was 20. 19 was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Indeed.
It's just not the best Indiana Jones film for sure, but maybe underrated in some parts, and just kind of how not very multiculturally sensitive, if you really think about it, you know?
No. No white man cabal.
No white man cabal. In fact, the white man cabal came to the rescue of our heroes. And
exactly. No passive hero. In
no,
one.
Not at all.
Very engaged, very active.
Let's see. Then we had number 18, and I'm going to try to get my order correct here. That was which one?
What was number 18?
18 was, you can tell that we are all about the show prep on Objection as we are. let's see, 18 was Lord of the Rings, right?
Yes.
Lord of the Rings trilogy.
The whole trilogy.
The whole trilogy, packaged all as one, correct. Just
again, because good versus evil.
Yeah, pretty blatant, pretty black and white. And then 17 was another pretty unflinching good versus evil. Not quite as maybe nuanced or Oscar-worthy, but Commando.
I would give it an Oscar.
You would? Yeah, it would deserve its special Oscar for sure.
It was probably – I can't remember exactly what year it came out, but it was probably Best Picture that year. It might have come out like around the time that Chariots of Fire came out. It was definitely better than that.
Definitely better
than dudes running on the beach.
Absolutely. And, I mean, does that need any more elucidation? I don't think so. I think I'm in. So that means we are on 2019, 16 and 15. So we are approaching the quarter century mark here. Well, we're not quarter century, but the quarter mark. So to aid us, this is our first edition of the Countdown with a special guest. Today, this is one of our favorite a-holes, and that is David Ryan. Mr. Ryan, welcome aboard.
Hello, gentlemen.
All right. Are you buckled in and ready to?
I'm buckled in and ready. I'm also a grammar Nazi.
Excellent.
Awesome.
That's going to be great.
A grammar Nazi am I.
And this is not a thread that has a moderator, so we're going to just run wild.
Right. Yeah. And it should be noted that Dave is here strictly because we managed to start a Facebook message thread asking for contributions by Wednesday. Middle of the week.
It
gets to be Sunday, and we're just like, you know, oh, I guess we're going alone.
The original idea was we would have guests because we like bringing guests on board. So we were just so far behind the curve that we never thought to, you know, hire anyone on because we couldn't get in time to send that Facebook message out. But we did, and we have a trio to deal with, which should be should make for some entertainment for sure.
Yeah, our laziness knows no bounds.
It does.
You would think that like the old white man cabal could throw us an intern or a secretary.
You would think
somebody to take care of this kind of stuff.
You would think they would, but they're tough to deal with. A lot tougher than you would think. Speaking of which, this entire countdown is underwritten by a grant from the old white man cabal, which yes. We deeply appreciate.
Definitely.
So anyway, let's move on to number 16. And this was actually a suggestion from Dave, and we liked it. And I'm going to be interested to see what you guys, how you conjure this fitting into our list. But it's a great movie, one of the more underrated and one of my favorite ones in the last couple of years, and that's Black Dynamite. So Black Dynamite is number 16. And Dave, since you suggested it, I want to find out how you jam that into our countdown. How does Black Dynamite fit into the? Why would a Prius enthusiast hate Black Dynamite? I guess that's the question.
Oh, let me count the ways. I should mention that I just discovered Black Dynamite within the last week.
Nice.
When I saw a post about a potential Black Dynamite graphic novel.
Fantastic. Oh, that would be fantastic.
And, you know, it reached the tipping point where I'd heard Black Dynamite enough that I had to figure out what the heck this was and, you know, found it was a streamable film on Netflix and decided to invest an hour and a half in Black Dynamite. And I don't think it's been very widely seen. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but
it had a very limited theatrical run, gained some buzz. I actually reviewed the Blu-ray whenever it came out, which may be like a year or so. I'm not sure. Maybe not that long, but the movie came out a year ago, I believe. And
truly a cult film, because I think we're here to not only explain why the Prius driving population would not. By the way, I've watched too much Top Gear because I always think of it as the Prius.
Yes, that's right.
Why they would not like it, and also maybe to spread the word to get more people interested in it.
So, definitely. You should be watching Black Dynamite if you have not.
You definitely should be watching Black Dynamite.
Fantastic. It is fantastically offensive, which makes it a fantastic film.
That's true. It is. So maybe that's a good point. It is offensive.
Why wouldn't the Prius driving people? Because every African-American stereotype you have ever thought of is dwelt upon and played for laughs. So it's all there. The Mandingo factor, the kung fu obsession, virtually every character in the film is either a superhero kung fu artist or a pimp. And women are, calling them objects would be to overstate the importance of the women in the film. Objects have a use beyond mere receptacles, if you drift. So it's and the amazing thing, the thing I love about it is it still manages to be a good. It's clearly, in case you haven't figured out, it's a spoof of blaxploitation films, but it's a very detailed and smart spoof of it.
And now here's the difference maker too. It's obviously having a good time at the expense of these, genre stereotypes, but it's not doing it from like a place of hoity-toityness, it's not like sneering at it, like we're so much kind of like, it's not doing it like the Mad Men effect. I'm not sure if that's going to make much sense. Like, Mad Men kind of always tosses in these, anachronisms now, but, stuff that goes on in the 60s. And sometimes it seems like it's designed to say, haha, look at what they were doing in the 60s. We are so awesome and enlightened that we can laugh at that, And, there may be an element of that to Black Dynamite, but it's almost like a loving embrace of the craziness of the blaxploitation genre,
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's very much like Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead in that regard.
That's
in
true.
It's funny. It's the dialogue has a lot of jokes to it and stuff, yet it really does play like a real blaxploitation movie. And man, Michael Jai White is awesome.
Absolutely.
And, he's completely believable. And you can tell that they have immersed themselves in these movies.
The level of detail.
And I remember seeing the Blu-ray, too. The director, Scott Sanders, I remember him saying that he was very aware watching these old movies how poorly edited they were. Yes. Like, they always cut, like, 2 seconds too late. Like, he would describe how in a Dolomite movie, like, Dolomite would deliver a line of dialogue, and then, as he put it, you can watch, like, the acting drain out of his face, and then they cut, you know, like, right after that. And so they really capture that kind of sense of editorial rhythm in the movie, too. It's awesome.
Exactly. And you, the more you watch it, the more you start to notice these things. Like Michael J. White will be the scene, you know, his dialogue will end and you can see him look at the director because the shot is lasting just a beat too long.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, deliberate continuity errors and
boom mic appearance, you know. Yeah, actually, a little trivia too. Some of my favorite gags in there were just actual bloopers that they kept on film. There's this one sequence like the bad guys are pulling up in a Cadillac and the guy forgot to take his foot off the emergency brake. I don't know if you noticed this. It's like the car just keeps moving or he forgot to put it in park. And that was just an actual blooper, but they left it in because it perfectly summarizes what they were going for, you know?
Yeah, that these movies were made, you know, there wasn't the money to do another take. You know, you just did what was, you had to take whatever was in the first take.
And the fact that they're just dealing head on with this kind of, you know, goofy shore, parody shore, but I mean, this, you know, this tangible racial humor, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's probably where more delicate sensibilities may feel upset, perhaps, you know?
The other reason it belongs on this list is that it has the audacity to satirize the use of the old white man cabal.
That's right.
Exploitation movies it was always the old white man cabal.
Absolutely.
CIA, whatever, like Superfly. He wasn't a pimp and a drug dealer and stuff because he needed to be able to afford Cadillacs and full length fur coats. It was because somehow the man was manipulating him into being a pimp and a drug dealer. There was always, you know, there's always the bad white guy in the background in these movies.
And there was the
Black
bigger
Dynamite plays on that perfectly.
The bigger picture, of course, being the government keeping the black man down in the ghetto.
Right.
Which was
right.
An overwhelming theme of these as well. And again, without ruining the film, played out to a believable, in the context of the genre, yet ridiculous end by the end of the film.
Oh man, that's a brilliant end. It really is.
It's got we talk about it, it's a great cast. I mean, top to bottom. John Sally is in there at random. I love.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I always, you know, I've always hated that Arsenio Hall got that talk show because Arsenio is a great, great comic actor, and that whole talk show experience just took him out of acting entirely for a long period of time.
Yeah,
and I would love to see him get back into it because I think he's just super talented. You know, coming to America, obviously the biggest line on his resume to date. But you know, he has a very small role in this, but it's quite memorable.
And it's funny that you mentioned Coming to America because after I saw Black Dynamite, I had to go back and watch that because seeing him perform, it was like, oh man, I got to see.
Yeah, you forget.
He's absolutely hilarious in that movie.
Nicole Sullivan, one of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
I think I turned half of my Mad TV review into just you know, desperately hoping she'd read it and go out with me. But, what can you do? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think if you have not seen Black Dynamite, you know, and especially it's free on Netflix, there's no reason why you should not be streaming it immediately. And my favorite gag in that movie is when Black Diamond is breaking down the nefarious old white man cabal scheme on the blackboard, you know, in the diner. That's that's probably one of my favorites. So
that is wall to wall favorites.
And I, before we leave this, just got to give a shout out to another movie that I cherish from my childhood. Not quite as smart as Black Dynamite, but I still think a fun spoof on black exploitation movies. I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Well, that's one of my little favorites as well. So
I haven't seen that.
And they're kind of complementary pieces.
Yeah, if you want to go back to back, right?
Was a true homage. It was taking these people and I hate to say it, but you know, giving them the dignity that they were real actors and that you know, just because the genre was junk doesn't mean, you know, Richard Roundtree and Pam Grier and all these people weren't, you know, pretty decent actors. And yeah. probably, you know, it's kind of like the Negro League ball players, you know, just because they were shunted off into this, you know, black only segment of cinema doesn't mean they couldn't play with the big boys, you know, in mainstream films. And, you know, later on they did. So, you know, especially Pam Grier with Quentin Tarantino, you know, casting her in Jackie Brown and kind of letting us all remember, hey, this is a pretty damn good actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was phenomenal in that movie.
Nice. All right. Very good. So that is number 16 on our list, and a worthy addition. So we'll change gears like we usually do to number 15. And this is, I think we have mentioned this movie before in a prior objection. And this was, I think, Dave, you may have been part of that.
Me, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is where we got some synergy going here. So the
previous, it was our Avatar takedown.
It was our Avatar takedown. We will do our best to not discuss Avatar at all.
Yes. Yeah.
But it is what we had considered James Cameron's last decent movie, I suppose. And that is number 15 on our list, True Lies, which really is – it's a movie that's on pretty much a consistent rotation on basic cable. Yet anytime I stumble across it, I feel compelled to watch. Yes. It's just one of those movements that's just, you know, they're just so nicely put together. So, and Dan, why don't you expound a little bit on why True Lies belongs in our countdown?
Well, there are so many, if you own a Prius, there are so many reasons to hate this movie that it's hard to even know where to start. But number one, the evil enemy in it is the Crimson Jihad.
That is the elephant in the room, for sure.
Problem. And number two, going back, I went back and looked at Rotten Tomatoes and some of the reviews of it, and it's, you know, treated pretty mediocre. But at the time that it came out, a lot of the criticism was for its perceived misogyny, that Schwarzenegger just treats Jamie Lee Curtis so horribly in the movie that it's a misogynistic
now, interesting.
Affair.
Okay. Hmm.
Yeah, so... There's reason number two to hate it. I think that's sort of gotten buried in the fact that the movie has the audacity to have Middle Eastern villains nowadays, which is why apparently James Cameron won't release it on Blu-ray or re-release it on DVD.
Yeah, I had heard that too, and then I also had what else I had read? Like I had read something else too, saying that. Since like 9/11, he was just super sensitive to not so much, you know, having, you know, Muslim terrorists as bad guys, but just offending. I don't offending it, but like it almost came like almost as a sympathetic thing. Like, you know, I don't want to make the victims feel bad or something like that. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I've seen a couple things on that. So who knows? But you're right. In the end, we don't get a Blu-ray treatment of it or a decent DVD, so that does suck.
Well, you know, he must feel fairly strongly about it because anytime he's actually giving up money, you know, that's
yeah.
pretty big.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Dave, any your thoughts on True Lies?
The striptease. that's the most memorable thing in the entire film because it's just kind of painful to watch. Jamie Lee Curtis is an attractive woman but it's just, it makes you feel dirty watching it. It's, she shouldn't be having to do that. It just seems, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe I can't say the word I'm looking for. it's kind of, it's like watching a relative strip. You know, it's something you don't want to see, even though some might be titillated by it. It's just wrong in certain ways because Jamie Lee Curtis, I mean, completely believable as a sex object in Trading Places, but here for some reason it just doesn't work. And I guess if you're a Prius driver, you would also hate of all that fuel being burned by the Harrier jet as it's hovering over the bridge, because you know that's blood money there, really.
Yeah. The emissions alone,
global warming, right there.
That's a huge carbon footprint on that Harrier.
And I was going to mention, of course, it's a James Cameron film, but it's not a James Cameron film because it's a remake, which, so he didn't actually write the script. And I don't think he actually did a rewrite of the script, unless I'm mistaken, but which is unusual for him as well, because as we discussed earlier, he's a very hands-on director and likes to have all tentacles into every single aspect of his film. But I think, and part of this is my fading memory, but another complaint about the film is that they spent so much on it. And, you know, there was so much new and expensive special effects that went into the film, but it really wasn't anything special as an action film. It was a good action film, but it wasn't a great action film. And it certainly wasn't the level of film you would have expected given the budget going in. You know, it's not one of Arnold's better films of that era. It's a good film. It's better than, you know, Kindergarten Cop, but it's a good solid B minus. It's not an A plus Homer out of the park. And I think that's what disappointed people a lot too when it came out. But it is, of course, Cameron's last truly good film.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it really does. Like, when I just think about this movie and how it's related to the list, I mean, to me, it is all about the antagonists, you know? I mean, can you think of what is the latest mainstream film, or, I don't know, can you think of anything that's had kind of like, well, you know, these crazed jihadists as bad guys?
I think Black Hawk Down was the last one, and that's because they couldn't avoid it.
That's right. I mean, the sum of all fears. Remember, they changed the entire plot to that to accommodate, you know, and the old white man cabal got pinned for that. So yeah, I mean, to me, it's just, I mean, that's the big one. It's just so taboo now. Apparently, it's almost weird and shocking when you watch True Lies to see that, even though it's not terribly old, you know.
Yeah, it is.
So
it's sort of like with Rambo 3, with the, you know, how that's set in the Middle East. And he's on the side of the Mujahideen.
That's right.
So, you know, you have this
fighting side by side with Mullah Omar. It's like,
oh, you know, there's this disconnect, the current time that, yeah, is definitely true of True Lies too, in a different way. But it's like, wow, nobody would make this movie now.
Right. That's right. So. Well, anything else to add to True Lies, gentlemen? Again, probably self-explanatory why I'd be on this list, mainly just because you just can't make that movie now. And plus, it is a violent R-rated action movie, you know, with a husband and a father who's not a complete noodle, you know, wet noodle who takes the fight to his daughter's captors. I mean, that's something, right? He didn't get caught in the blinds or anything on the way out the door.
And you know, now I'm realizing is kind of a theme for Arnold's career during the decade of the 80s and early 90s.
It's true. I mean, that's a callback to Commando, right? Very Commando-like.
Here's how you know it's French, by the way, the original, is because, yeah, there's terrorists and stuff blowing up and all these, you know, secret spy stuff. But really, the main thread of the narrative is whether or not this guy's wife is having an affair. That's what the film revolves around. Well, everything explodes in every direction. So, you know, hallmark of French cinema. It's not about, I don't care if I die as long as my wife is faithful. So, but you know, we kind of damn the film with faint praise here, but it's not a bad film. And I, you know, want to make that clear. It's an entertaining film. You know, it's not the kind of film where you sit there and you nitpick it and you say, oh, this could have been much better if they'd done this, 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 and this. It's a pretty good film, and it you know, there aren't a lot of things you'd change about it given the plot. There are elements of the plot I would change probably if it were up to me to rewrite the film, but given the original script that they had to work with, which was the original French film, he did a good job with it. And it's a well-paced adventure film, and the misogynistic aspects aside, it's a good action thriller for a, you know, Friday night popcorn movie.
Indeed. All right, I think that brings us to the end of this portion of the countdown. So we're going to pick this up next week. with 14 and 13. And what can those be? We wish we could tell you, because show prep again is not part of our strong point. But anyway.
We don't plan that far ahead.
We don't plan that far ahead. But we're picking up some steam, and you know the end is within sight. So, to recap our 16 and 15, we had Black Dynamite and True Lies. Again, previous enthusiasts, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if
definitely check out Black Dynamite if you haven't seen it, and you're welcome to check out True Lies if you don't have a widescreen TV.
Yes, that's right. You will need.
Just forget it because you'll be aggravated.
If you have a V8 engine in your automobile, you should go see these films.
Absolutely. That's right. If your car runs on the blood of polar bears, go see this movie. So. All right. Well, that is it. Thank you to Dan, of course, and Dave Ryan. Thank you for joining us. I'm sure this is the last we've heard of your a-holery, so we appreciate you joining us again.
Thank you.
And Dan, with that, I guess there's only one thing left to say.
Thanks. 10 points easy.